The psalm for today is the Word of God, Psalm 62. It is the piece of scripture that the LWML has used for its synodical convention that it's just held recently. And so I have it up on the screen, and I'd like to have you all say it with me, if you could. All right? Please rise. I wait quietly before God, for my salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. I have so many enemies, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or tottering fence. They plan to overthrow me from the throne as their king. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales together, they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you are just with all people according to what they have done. And you may be seated for the message of today, taking or having rest in God. And when I say this, this isn't about, you know, taking time on Sunday afternoon, watching a Packer game and trying to stay off the phone or something like this. This is a 24/7, 365-day-a-week type of rest that is talked about in the psalm today. Now, first of all, a little bit about psalms. When was the last time that you can remember you heard a sermon on a psalm? Besides Psalm 23 at a funeral? Not often. Not very often. In fact, some churches never preach on a psalm. Some churches very rarely preach on the Old Testament. You know why? I think partly because psalms seem so like liturgical of the church of many years ago, right? Where you heard Gregorian chants. Or it was done in old-time church settings and sung, and it was kind of boring. And now we live in today's church, and so psalms aren't needed so much anymore. Do you know any psalms by heart besides the 23rd? Yeah, I just don't think we read them the way we used to. And that's kind of sad because, you know, psalms are very valuable. They were meant to be used not only in worship setting, but in private setting, so that when we Christians would have time alone with God, we would read a psalm, and when we read it, resting and quietly and not trying to rush ourselves through it, God would speak to us in a very special and wonderful way and make something known to us, something maybe we don't understand or don't know on our own. So I use the Psalms quite regularly. In fact, if you use Facebook, you know that I send a psalm out every day or two, so that you get a chance to read it when you have your Facebook open, and you have a chance to not only read it, but reflect on it. In fact, I think in one of the Facebooks, I taught you how to read a psalm so that would be more meaningful to you. In fact, every morning before I come over on Sundays, I use a portion of the psalms, and then I do it in the bathroom, and you know why? Nobody bugs me in the bathroom. So I do it in the bathroom before I leave to come over to church. And then at the end of the psalm, I always say, do you have any last words, God? And every morning, you know what he says to me? I always have the last word. And so that reassures me when I come over here that no matter what happens with the sermon, and no matter how you receive it, God's always had the last word. And that comforts me, and that gives me the reassurance that even though so many people look at me as a leader, the one true leader is who? God. And he leads in a special and wonderful way. And some of the ways, the only way sometimes I know that is by opening up a psalm and reading it, being quiet, and letting him speak to me. Now, today's psalm, we believe, was written by David. David, at the time, was more than likely king over Israel. All kinds of people. God had made special promises to this people, and he said that he would fulfill those promises through people like David. And so David had a lot of pressure on him to be just the right kind of person God wanted to be. A lot of strain and stress on him to be somebody who would help fulfill those promises. And we all know the story of King David. He failed a lot. In fact, he had the one big failure of adultery with Bathsheba, right? And so, it must have been awful tough on him. And you know, anytime you're a leader, you might as well put a bullseye on your back, right? Because people are going to take pot shots at you. And some people are going to try to drag you down and tell lies and make all kinds of things difficult for you to live your life. Let me ask you, how many of you here consider yourself a leader? Please raise your hand. You better raise your hand. Everybody, you better raise your hand. Go ahead, raise them. Raise them. Get them up there. You are a leader. Well, how many of you have children? Raise your hands. Are you not leaders? Sure you are. How many of you are grandma and grandpas with children underneath you and grandchildren? Raise your hands. You are leaders. How many of you hold a position in the church where people are being served in one way or the other, either officially or non-officially? Please raise your hand. Sunday school teachers, teachers of every kind, board members, elders, everybody. If you even help present music. How many of you at work have people underneath you or even people over you who are watching you and seeing what you can and can't do and are accepting your leadership? Yeah, you are a leader. You cannot get away from it. You might as well accept it. And accepting it, accept the fact that you need help just like King David needed help. Where did he go to find his one comfort, his one strength, his one firm rock and foundation? Where did he go finally for his leadership? He went to God. In some way or another, in his heart, he knew that God loved him, no matter what. In his heart, he knew that there would be a Savior that would come that would be the source of his forgiveness and life. In his heart, he knew that he was being used by God. That's how he held on. It was because of God's promises and his love for him that he was able to go forward. It wasn't because of all the commands and all the stress and trying to be somebody God wanted him to be. No. The psalm is pretty clear. The source of his strength and life and salvation was him that loved him so deeply and put him in the position that he was as king and leader, and then was fulfilling so many things that God wanted to have done throughout the course of history through him. And we're no different. We're just like him. You know, I'm in a funny position of leadership because my mother is not only my mother, but I'm her caretaker. So she calls me Mr. Caretaker. I got that hat. My mother is also a member of the church, so she calls me pastor. My mother is also my mother, so she calls me her son. So the other day I was over there and I said to her, I said, Mom, you know, you're not getting out very much anymore. She's in assisted living. And I said to her, I said, you still need church. Are you going to church? And she says, oh, yeah, they have church here and I really love it. And I said to her, I said, Mom, do you want me to talk to the office? I said, if you want me to come here and lead a church service, maybe even rotate with the guy who's doing this service. I said, do you want me to do that? You know what she said? She said, no, I really like this guy. Yeah. Sometimes being a leader isn't easy. And sometimes you have to accept what that means. But we are leaders. And there are people that you're leading, and you may not even be aware of it. Now, the psalm makes one thing last pretty clear and pretty evident. And that is that there are times as a leader that we have to stop, take our time, get on our feet, and realize that our true foundation is something out there we cannot see, fully understand, or comprehend. That something is a being, three persons, one God. And that this God loves us very deeply and wants us to be still and find peace, comfort, rest under Him. I saw Pastor Banky come in today. Where are you, Pastor? There he is. We went fishing last year, and I don't know if you remember this, but you must. I got this fish on that wouldn't come up. Remember that fish? And I don't know why, but I held steady tension on this fish for, I don't know, 20 minutes or more. Might even get a half hour. And once in a while I could feel it, and once in a while I couldn't. But I, you know, kept after it. And then finally, we started to get it up, and we brought in the boat, and it was a nice-sized bass. Fairly good-sized bass. I got it in the boat, we netted it, we got it out, I got a hold of it, but then I got the hook out and dropped it. And it started flapping and flopping and all kinds of frenzy it made in the boat. And I couldn't pick it up. So I used the old Psalm 46, remember? Bass, be still and know that I am God. Guess what? Stop flopping. I was able to pick it up and get it back in the water. That's the story of our lives. I'm that bass. So are you. Sometimes that's the way we treat life and go about life. We put all of our energy and effort into it. We forget that God is our one true leader and that we can't really lead the way we're supposed to lead until we understand this fully. We can't be the people God wants us to be until we stop trying to do it all on our own. That it's all up to us and it depends on us. And if we fail, you got to either try harder or quit in desperation. Sometimes it's best to just stop and do nothing and rest and let God speak. And when we have the scriptures open, and when we have the scriptures in our heart, and when we are regular and receiving that word, not only in home privately, but in worship as we receive it here, even in the Lord's Supper, God speaks. You can't always hear it with ears, but you can hear it with the heart. And when He speaks, and when He touches us, and when He makes His will known to us in that very special quiet time that we have as we rest in Him, it becomes very evident of who He wants you to be and how He wants you to love and treat others because of the way you've been loved and treated yourself first by Him. I want to share with you some of the projects that the LWML have been involved with this past year and this year. As leaders in mission for the LWML, they've taken on a lot. But I believe they do it such a way that they have a reassured rest in their heart that this is what they're supposed to be doing. Meeting together, reading together, studying scripture, and then giving of themselves in any way possible through things like mite boxes. Now, about the mite boxes for the kids, I've got some up here. Parents, if you want to send them up, you can send them up later to get one, and there will be some in back. You just put your change in there, keep it in the car. Pennies, nickels, dimes, and then bring them here. We have a box. It's sitting back there. Normally, it's in the narthex, and you could put your box in there when you get it to the point where you think it's full. So here are some of the different projects that they're involved with this year. There will be quite a few of them. I'm just going to flash them up there for you to look at. I'm not going to go through each and every one. These are the worldwide projects and the amounts of money that they're spending on missions. As you can see, it starts to add up, doesn't it? Throughout the world, for people in all kinds of different needs. Could you imagine the millions and millions of dollars they must have raised and sent abroad for missions over the last 76 years, and the way that they've touched the hearts of other people by gathering together as women and doing these special ministries, considering themselves leaders by God, humbly bowing before Him and leading others?